You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello and welcome to The Breakfast Table.
Hey there, it's Darshan.
It's Alex.
And I'm your host, Brad, and today we are gathered here in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan at the Podcast Detroit studios to talk about esports. So, Alex, you are our resident professional when it comes to esports, considering you're watching one right now.
Indeed, I am.
Which one are you watching, Alex?
I'm watching the Overwatch League, which is basically, it's sponsored by Blizzard, of course, because they're the ones who own Overwatch, and they're the ones who, you know, brought it together. They've had tournaments ever since the game was in beta form, actually. I think the 2-year anniversary is coming up here like in the next week or so. But even when it was in beta form back in like March of 2016 or something like that, they even had tournaments then because a lot of people were playing it. But it's owned by Blizzard, and it's actually taken place over at the Blizzard Arena over in California, up in Anaheim. So they actually have Blizzard has their own arena where they do their esports, and that's where it's. They just built it. I think they just finished building it back in October, like sometime late last year, and they started the Overwatch League earlier this year in January. But they kind of had a preseason in November. So this is the first time they've actually had their own arena, and this is their hallmark right now.
Hey, so Alex, when you said you're watching it, what platform are you watching it on exactly?
Yeah, so they actually Blizzard partnered with Twitch, and Twitch is owned by Amazon. They bought them out about I think last year sometime.
Yeah,
they bought
a year or two ago. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, a few million dollars too. They got exclusive rights and. Because now you can actually combine your Amazon Prime with Twitch Prime, which is kind of like PlayStation Plus and Xbox Game for Gold. So if you're a Prime member, you can actually tie it to your Twitch account, and they give out like free games every month, which is a really cool incentive for like Amazon.
I did not
people.
Know yeah. that.
They haven't been very good games.
Okay, but how do you claim the games? Like, what do you do to like get them?
Twitch has their own platform, actually, believe it or not. It's kind of like Steam, Origin. Yeah, it's I haven't used it. I've been getting the games, but I haven't used it yet. But it's not only games. They actually give you like free loot stuff too, like for games. Like I know they give like battle packs for Call of Duty. They even gave out what was it? It was something for Pokemon. What's that? Pokken tournament. They give something for that too. Like they give you like codes to redeem in game.
Like DLC.
I got the entire like Star Wars. Yeah, like you know Star Wars: The Old Republic. I got the entire like second expansion for free from them, which is really cool. And then of course they started off with giving like loot boxes for people who played Overwatch and like Hearthstone, the card game from Blizzard, and then that game the RTS like the MOBA game they have Heroes of the Storm, which is kind of like a MOBA style game for Blizzard. They give out some really good loot, and like for if you pay monthly like $12.99 a month for Amazon, like not only do you get the Amazon Prime benefits like 2-day shipping and stuff like that, the 20% off new games, you get some really good stuff for PC and sometimes even consoles.
So
which
Alex,
is
you're saying that if you're a Prime member you get like the Twitch benefits. So there's not an additional cost to get the Twitch benefits on top of already being a Prime member, just being a Prime member. Alone.
Yeah. So if you have a family member who's just not into gaming, you know, see if you can use their Prime, you know, have them sign into Twitch and,
Mom,
you know,
can I use your Prime account?
Exactly. It's a good deal, actually. I mean, I've been a little bit disappointed with Prime a little bit, but this is a really good deal. And they have some really good stuff. And what I like about it, too, is that they partner with Twitch and they give out skins for Overwatch. So like for people who are watching, they can buy bits, which is basically like digital currency, and they use that to cheer on like their favorite team. Or if they're just watching a streamer, they can use those bits to, you know, give the it's kind of like donating money to your favorite streamer. You're buying bits and you're giving them money. And when you cheer for your team, you can actually like get like exclusive like little stickers you can post in the chat. And then, of course, for the last month when they started Stage 2, So to kind of, there's five stages right now. There's a stage almost every single month. And in stage two, they actually had like a little progress bar. If they reached like 30,000 cheers, you unlocked a skin for Overwatch. I think the first skin was like 30,000 cheers. And then, no, sorry, 3 million cheers. I'm sorry, 3 million cheers. They got Tracer.
There's a little bit of a difference between 30,000 and 3 million.
Just a pinch. Yeah, I remember the three, and it was like 3 million, then 15 million, then 25 million, and then...
And how do you get a cheer? Is it like when it's like when somebody watches a video of you playing and they toss you a coin, basically?
It's their fake currency. It's the Twitch currency is called bits, and it's not just for the esports events. It's actually used throughout all of Twitch. So whenever you want to donate to a streamer... I believe they can change what the bits look like and everything too.
Depending
on the stream. So it can make it look like little Mario coins and stuff like that. So when somebody donates, you see them drop into a coin jar. And it's kind of to incentivize people to donate through Twitch to the streamers instead of going through something else like Patreon.
It's like a virtual tip jar.
Yes.
Yeah. So normally when you're watching a streamer, you can just, you know, donate $5. You can just send them like $5 and they get $5. But with bits, what you do is you buy the bits from Twitch, Amazon, they get that money and then they give you the bits. And then when you use those bits, then the streamer gets the money. So it's kind of like adding like a middle ground in a way where Amazon can get, because I mean, they get the money anyways, but they get more money from the bits. And they use that like if the streamer's playing online and they're playing against the people, you can cheer them on to win the match, you know, stuff like that. Hmm. But yeah, it's pretty cool. So like, I mean, I cheered like for like $10, I got like 1,000 bits, and I cheered for my favorite team, and I got like 25 stickers from characters, and then of course, you know, adding all those up, you can get the skins. So it's a really cool incentive for actually watching. And they tried something new with Overwatch. It's called the All Access Pass, which is basically it's $20 if you're a Prime member, and you get like behind the scenes stuff. So like at the end of the match, they may have like an AMA, which stands for Ask Me Anything, where a player will answer questions that people have submitted, you know, about their play style or how what their personal life is. And they get exclusive access to that. And then, of course, you know, if you do that, you get like exclusive stickers, you get exclusive skins in the game. So if you're one of those people who love like, you know, not microtransactions, but those cosmetic items, you know, you want to have your favorite loot box kind of.
The DLC stuff.
Not so much DLC. It's cosmetic. Yeah. It doesn't change how you play the game. It just changes how it looks.
Avatar stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So if you, like for me with Overwatch, I'm not a big microtransaction guy. I don't buy, you know, loot boxes
Nobody
and stuff
wants
like that
to
for like
buy.
Star Wars and stuff like that.
Yeah, let's be real here. I mean, they get you.
I mean,
you know, you gotta buy the extra Pokeballs when you need them, right? But
exactly. Yeah. So I
understand, but you know, sometimes there's an intangible value by earning it, you know, as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And you were saying earlier, Alex, it was $20 for an additional pass. Is that like an annual pass or like just a flat rate?
It's for the rest of the Overwatch League season one. So they're in season one right now. So they've extended. They gave everyone like a free trial. And there's two stages left. I think. Yeah, there's two stages left in the Overwatch League. So the rest of May, June, and then the grand finale is in July. So for the next 2 months, if they pay the $20, not only do they get those skins, but they can get all that, and they get like an exclusive chat. Because I don't know if you guys have ever been on chat, but for big events, reading the chat is awful.
Oh, you can't do it.
So it's like a VIP way of watching your favorite game in an esports fashion.
And then you get like when a game's finished, sometimes they may give like a little behind the scenes thing, like in between like games and stuff like that. You know, if you want to learn more about these people, and like I got the free trial and it's pretty cool.
It's like a network, like, you know, WWE network or... Mm-hmm. Even in a way like Netflix or something like that.
Yeah,
it's like kind of like an add-on that you can get to enjoy additional content within, you know, the streaming network or channel.
Yeah, and I love the AMAs at the end because like my favorite team right now, they're New York Excelsior, and they're actually an all-Korean team. And watching those AMAs is just funny because they can be who they can be their own selves. You know, like one guy, he's just being a jokester. He's playing. He's trying to bend his pen with, you know, like bending the pen and making jokes. It's getting to get to know these guys because when they're on the stage, they're serious. You know, they're serious. You know, they only talk to themselves. They have that game face on and you don't really get to see much of them. And of course, when they do like the behind the scenes stuff, it's all drama and stuff like that, because that's just, you know, drama sells.
They have to add that.
But in the AMA, like, they can be whatever one. Like, you know, my favorite thing about New York is that when they finish answering a question, they say their name and they go, "Thank you." And they do like a little salute and they say it in English, which is, and it's just so great just to watch these guys be themselves. And it's, I think that's a great perk and to know like your favorite team and stuff like that. You don't see that much in esports in general. So I mean, like, when you think of esports, like what type of games do you guys know about, like, that have esports, like competitive gaming? Have you guys ever watched any of them?
Like, I've seen League of Legends, StarCraft, WarCraft, you know, the real time strategy type of things that I've witnessed.
Yeah. So when you watch those, do you like when you have like a favorite character, a favorite player or something, do you actually get to see like who they really are or do you see them?
No. And I get what you're saying is that what's cool about this particularly is that you get to see the person behind the keyboard.
It's a more personal connection.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, with actual sports in real life, you know, and announcers and them talking about the players and all their statistics while they're actually, you know, throwing a 3-pointer or doing a layup or something cool. You know, it's kind of the same fashion, but for a video game player.
Yeah. And it's really cool too. And like, because the biggest thing when there's actual people, there's coaches.
Yeah.
They have people who coach, you know, because they're the ones who watch the things that, hey, halftime, we need to bring in this guy. You know, he's better for this match. You know, we need to, you know, do this thing. And halftime, you'd be surprised how many times where I think last playoffs when my team was facing a team from Philly and they were losing within the first half. So basically it's the best game of five. And so whoever wins the first three win the match. And then, of course, if there's, you know, tied, you know, 2-2 at the fourth map, they go to a fifth map. So at the during the first half, my team was getting destroyed. It was very unrealistic for them. And when they came back, they whooped them. They did a reverse sweep, which basically means that they went from having no wins to end up winning the match. And it was all because of those coaches, because they got the right people in.
It's like a manager on a baseball team. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And these guys are people who are actually in the actual sports league in general, like football and stuff like that. Because I think the guy who owns which team does he own? It's the Boston team for Overwatch. He owns like the actual like Boston team or like the team up in Massachusetts or something like that. He owns like one of the major league football teams, and he bought
Major League, you know, National
yeah
Football.
He owns the Boston team.
That's how much we know about sports here at 8-Bit Waffles.
Yeah,
we're so, all sports fans here. Go sports
team.
Always, yeah. But yeah, these are actually real, like actual people who are in the real sports, and they actually buy these teams because they see potential in this, so they know how to coach these guys.
It's an investment in an opportunity that's going to gain a lot more popularity in the next decade. Tremendously, and you're going to see
it. I mean, it's already hitting that popular note that esports are bringing in the amount of viewers as like normal sports events.
It's getting, in my opinion, the like 12 to 24-year-olds right now. That's the core demographic, and that's why I think Amazon actually bought Twitch in the first place, is because they're like, how do we reach these kids, you know? Okay, we got to buy this out so that we can like push out content and advertising through a platform that these people – you know, this demographic uses. And that's what they did, and it was a sound investment. And then here's Blizzard, you know, being a part of the game as well and working with Twitch. And you're starting to see the dots connect. And I think that as these people get older, you know, it's going to be more ingrained within modern culture a lot more.
Yeah.
So you're going to see not just like Blizzard do it, but you're going to see other companies do it as well. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if EA's got something on the back.
Oh, EA's always, especially
they have FIFA. Like, they have like for their FIFA, they have tournaments and stuff, but they have like World Cups and everything. But like when you look at like esports back in the back when gaming esports was kind of new, that's when you saw stuff like StarCraft. StarCraft was probably one of the yeah. first biggest ones, I believe. StarCraft competitive was a big thing when StarCraft when the original StarCraft was out. That was a really big yeah. thing back in the day.
Here's the thing too. I think what's making it so predominant now is did you guys see that documentary from Steam that was related to Dota?
No,
I've heard of it.
And basically what it was is it was the first esports competition to have like well over $1 million prize. So the prize money itself is like millions of dollars now. So it's like it's a big deal, you know.
I mean, Evo has been hitting some huge numbers for prize money, and that one is the fighting game tournament.
Okay.
And that's the one where like that's where a lot of esports got big in like kind of more non-gaming people knew about it because of Smash Brothers and Street mm-hmm. Fighter and Mortal Kombat, and everybody knows those games. You can go up to anybody that doesn't play games and they'd be like, oh yeah, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, it's like, hey, it's a game you and me can play like normal human beings.
Right.
And not some like, let's get our butts kicked by some kid in Korea online. You know what I mean? Like, it's a fair play. In a way.
I mean, you can still get your butt kicked from a dude in Korea.
Oh well, yeah. But that's the thing about like FPS games in general for me. It's just so intimidating. Because I'm afraid once I switch to online play, I'm just going to get my butt whooped. So it's just like...
As you will.
Yeah, as I will. And I just... it's so resistant. That's why I kind of like take a backward step. That's why I like games that are simple and things like that because of that, you know?
Yeah. And when you look at like FPSs, you don't really see FPS in esports. I mean, yeah, you got Call of Duty. Battlefield tried to do a few tournaments here, but they're not like big esports.
Well, Overwatch is an FPS, right?
It is. And the reason mm-hmm. why is because, and this kind of goes with like Team Fortress 2, which was made by Valve, who owns Steam. It's a team-based FPS. When you look at Call of Duty, you're in a team, but you can really
kind of like Counter-Strike
yourself. Yeah, you can be
Counter-Strike is a little bit more team-based though.
Team-based, yeah. But with Counter-Strike, I don't think that one did get big for a while.
That's still a big one.
Yeah, but with Counter-Strike, you can still carry it by yourself if you're extremely good. But with Team Fortress 2 and Overwatch, you can't be a lone wolf. It's impossible. Okay. You have to work at a team. And I think that's why I like Overwatch more, is because watching these guys pull off ridiculous combos, like, you know, with their ability stuff, working together is just amazing. Because, I mean, Counter-Strike, I mean, you have grenades, sniper rifle. I mean, they work as a team, but it's not like, you know, actually working as a team to actually win. And I think that's why a lot of people are, I think right now, I think there's like 150,000 people watching Overwatch League right now.
As you're watching and talking to us?
I'm just glancing here and there. But
viewership?
Wow.
But, so 150,000 view count on some people playing video games right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's crazy.
If you think about it, that's still pretty low compared to the kind of numbers that
hit. But this is just like a Sunday night, you know? It's like...
Well, I mean, like, in terms of esports, there have been some events that have gotten views that rival not the Super Bowl, but, like, other huge sporting events mm-hmm. and everything like that.
Like a playoffs, like, game right. or something. Yeah.
And I know that, basically, I remember there was a quote from one of the executives of G4 TV when they were going down, going, yeah, nobody wants to watch things about video games anymore. That's why we're shutting down. And Twitch came out like the following year and just completely proved him wrong.
Well, it's on a web interface, you know, instead of a network-based. Yeah.
Think about it. If you could watch these same kind of things on TV, just going
now
through the channel.
Now you can, you know.
Yeah, Spike TV
Our colleague at work right now, he watches it with his son.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so interesting because he likes the game. What is it? Injustice. Yeah, Injustice. Yeah. They have an esports league for that. And I guess there's like a show that comes on Friday nights, and it's like father and son watching the show.
And they're learning how to play the game.
They're learning how to play the game. And then what does he do? He goes and buys the game and then plays it with his son. And then it's funny, when his son sleeps at night, he goes and plays the game behind his back and watches the videos.
Trying to get better.
tries to keep up with the kid. It's so great.
And it's one of those people that if you saw him walking down the street, you would never think that this is what he's doing.
You would never, ever. and catch it.
So it there is a market for it that is out there. There are people watching it that you wouldn't think would be interested in it. And it's one of those magical things that everybody was like, that's dumb. Who would want to watch somebody just play a video game? But Let's Plays, Twitch, everything has kind of proven that wrong. Mm-hmm. And then when you get onto a professional level with the esports and everything like that, it just goes into an even crazier magnitude of people wanting to watch this. Because even...
I was thinking about the money too. Because remember when I was talking earlier about the bits and everything else like that? So here, let me pull up the Twitch page for Overwatch and let me look at those. So basically, 1,000 bits is about $10. Of course, sometimes they may have, you know, deals where you get 1,000 of them for like $1. But basically, for every 100 bits, it's $1. So for the very first skin, it was 25 million. So let's say 25 million divide that by 100. So that is
$25.
Let's see, almost $250,000 right off the bat for the first skin.
Jeez.
And then 40,000 for the second one, 45,000 for the third one, and then 50,000 for the fourth one. I think right now it's at 55,674,744. So that's $500,000 they just got over the past month. Because they didn't start this until almost about a month ago. So in the last month, just in bits, they got almost $500,000.
You know what it reminds me
and
of?
That's just for this one tournament.
It reminds me of...
That doesn't include, you know, merchandising. Because you can actually... Because another cool thing is, let's say you do have a favorite team. They have a section in the game where you can look at all the different teams. And you can buy the skins of your favorite character representing your favorite team.
It's like a jersey. So,
buy their jersey. And it's about it's 100 Overwatch League tokens, and one Overwatch League token, 100 tokens equals $5. So there's about 26 heroes. So to be able to get all of them, it's about almost $100+.
Oh my God, dude. This, you know what it is? It's like that South Park episode with the Canada.
Yeah, and it's exactly that. It's
just, and it is. And
it's all Canada,
of course. Yeah, and the good thing about it is that it's all optional. Of course, they do give you ways to get it for free. So, like, when you're watching Twitch, if you're watching a match and you're signed in, you basically get one token, like one Overwatch League token per map played. So, like I said, so mostly you can go through about 6 or 7 maps in one round. Like in one match. So if there's three, you know, a bunch of teams playing, you can get a good like 30 or 40 tokens every other day. So almost a week, you can probably almost get a free skin almost every week or so.
Okay.
And then of course you can also get if you get lucky, they sometimes give out 100 tokens and you can just get a thing for free. So they do reward you for watching. It's only one token a match, but it's one token a match, you know? Like I said, you can get a good maybe 20 tokens or so a day, and they play on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So you can get almost a good skin maybe once a week. So it's not bad, you know. I mean,
especially if you're playing to watch it already. If you're kind of going, I just want the skin, you can just buy it out. But if you are you planning to watch it all anyway? Yeah, you get a little bonus perk out of it.
Yeah,
exactly. Honestly, you can just put it on Twitch and just leave it running, and then you can get it, even if you're at work or something, just put it on, and just let it run through, and you get all the points and everything. So, it's definitely. It's not much, but it's still something. I think it's a really good business model, and to be honest, and this is the first time they've done it. Overwatch is getting bigger every single year. I have been noticing that. Copies have been selling out because I went to go buy the PC version, and it was on sale for like $30 at Best Buy, which you can get it for $24 if you have their Gamers Club. It was sold out like immediately, and I got mine at Target.
Okay, so Alex, hold on, pause, because you're going on and on and on about Overwatch, and yeah, it's great and all, but let's let our listeners know about other games that are out there, what types of games that are there, that other esports, people are playing aside from just Overwatch.
So right now, that's actually the really only one right now. I mean, because they do it like in seasons. They do it in seasons. So I think Evo, which is what Brad mentioned earlier, is the fighting game. tournaments, those are usually
they have fighting style type of
those are usually later in the year.
Are those like arcade joystick? You know,
it's whatever you want to bring.
Whatever you want to bring. So whatever like type of controller deck that you want to just plug in and play.
So for those, they're actually they use fight sticks. They use actually like fight sticks that are modeled after arcades because they're much more precise. You can pull off combos better than a D-pad. Some tournaments use like the controllers for like Xbox and PlayStation, but those can be very inconsistent. Most when you look at like Major League pro gamers for fightings, they most likely shell out $150 to get an arcade style.
So they get like the Action X. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And the big games you see for Evo, you're always going to see Street Fighter. Street Fighter is one, I think, probably the biggest fighting game tournament that you'll see probably forever, because I don't think that Capcom's ever going to stop making Street Fighter games. But then you see the only game that kind of rivaled it back in the day was Marvel versus Capcom. But even with the Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, it's kind of died down just because it just wasn't as good of a game.
We got Injustice 2 as well.
Well, Injustice 2 is getting there.
That's one of the smaller ones that's on there. I mean, if you want to go through, there's a lot of the smaller fighting games that are on there. But the ones that people tune in for are Street Fighter. Marvel versus Capcom 2 actually is one that people tune in for still all the time.
That's an old school one a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Yeah, that's a little bit older,
too. Yeah, Melee is another one. Soul Calibur. Now, Soul Calibur, they have Soul Calibur 6 coming out later this year. I'm curious on how that's going to come back, because we haven't had a Soul Calibur game in a long time. Bandai Namco, they're the ones who create the game, and I think 5 came out on the PS3, so it's been a long time.
No, it was on the PS... Wait. 4 was on the PS3.
5 was on PS3.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, so they've been out for a while, and fighting games have changed a lot since then, especially with Mortal Kombat X and Injustice. You know, they've changed a lot since then, so they have a really big shoes to fill, for sure.
Okay,
but that's later out this year.
We got fighting. What else is out there? We got real-time strategy.
But the only thing you have StarCraft.
Yeah, obviously the StarCraft, you know, the Warcraft, the League of Legends, the Dotas.
So League of Legends and Dotas, they're called MOBA games. They're actually different than RTS.
Well, hold on. MOBA stands for Multiplayer Online Battle Arena.
Yes.
So for people that didn't know, there you go.
Yeah.
I was about to actually mention that. It's an arena game. Basically, you get your favorite heroes, and you basically think of something like Team Fortress and Overwatch, but in a top down looking game, kind of like StarCraft. But instead of you building stuff and everything, you're just using abilities to kill the other opponent. Basically.
So you're not sitting there like in StarCraft, like mining the minerals and stuff like that. You're given a set. Map settings in battle.net.
Here, MOBA games are, think of StarCraft, but instead of being the kind of overlord that creates all the building and commands everybody, you control just one of the people in the army, and you walk through the map with that person and use them to attack and everything like that. So instead of having like an army around you that you had to control, you just control one person and their abilities.
Okay. Third person. Like,
yeah. It's a top down. Yeah.
So it's like
Diablo. Think of Diablo, like a player versus player Diablo, but with like a six, it's a 16 versus 16 with kind of like Diablo style, where you have the one character, you have your abilities, and you go to kill the other. You have this big map, and then, not as big as StarCraft, but then you go out and try to kill the other team. And just, I mean, you can destroy their base. That's basically what the objective is. They do have like buildings kind of like StarCraft near their base, and they're like defenses and everything, but you can't build them. They're already there. So you have to destroy them to get to their portal. And then once you destroy their portal, you win the game, basically. So it's kind of like StarCraft, but without the building, like Brad said.
Yeah, and it's Dota and League of Legends have that same kind of play style that is. Those are the two big ones that everybody knows about.
Yeah, and it's huge money too in esports.
Dota is definitely the biggest. League of Legends is not as big, but still ridiculously big. I think the communities kind of brought League of Legends down a little bit, because I'm pretty sure if you go on like meme sites like 9gag and you look at League of Legends, about 90% of them are talking about the toxicity of League of Legends.
Yeah, the culture is a bit cringeworthy, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's the community can be very, what's the word that I'm looking for? They're very toxic, and they're trying to fix that. And I think that's the only thing that's stopping them from getting up to the numbers of Dota. And the only other MOBA out there is the one made by Blizzard, which is Heroes of the Storm. It's basically League of Legends and Dota, but with Blizzard characters. So characters from Warcraft, Diablo, Starcraft, and Hearthstone, which is their card game, and then Overwatch. But it's big, but just not as big as those two.
And I know one of the reasons that Dota is so big is because even before Dota 2, which is the one created by Valve, came out, Dota started off as like a fan-made, I guess, extension or add-on to Warcraft 3.
Yes, so it was like a mod for Warcraft 3.
And it kind of built a community from there, and that's what League of Legends was based on. And people went to League of Legends because it was a more updated version of Dota. And then Valve went and took the idea of Dota, and I think they actually bought it out the rights entirely for it, and then they created their own from it. And it had the backing from Valve, which everybody in the gaming community back then and still today treat Valve like they're the gods of gaming.
They got mad respect.
Oh, yeah.
Dota 2 is the only game right now that Valve has ever worked on in the past. When was the last game that came out?
Dude, Valve doesn't like do.
Well, they have new games coming out. They actually do have some new games. They actually have a single player.
I know
game
they do, but they take their time.
Yeah, we'll see.
They're Portal too busy 2, they're, counting their money.
Yeah, they're quality. You know,
it was Portal 2. I think in 2011 was their last game, and I think that was Portal 2.
Because don't forget, guys, Valve and Steam, right?
Yes,
they're one in the same organization.
Yeah, they're too busy counting money to make games.
Who's the guy on top? Was it Gabe?
Gabe Newell.
Yep.
Yeah, and he's still in charge. He hasn't sold it. He hasn't. And, you know, and of course, their biggest joke about Valve is that they don't know how to count to the number 3, because we're still waiting for Portal 3, Half-Life 3.
Left 4 Dead 3.
Left 4 Dead 3. I'm pretty sure people are saying Dota 3. But all their games have never made it to a number 3.
You guys remember last year? You're like, so what games are you guys looking forward to 2018? And I'm like, Half-Life 3.
It's never going to happen.
Every E3, they're like, you know, they're just waiting for it. But it's, I mean, they make good games. And I think one of the biggest sighs of relief is when they said that they actually have a real single player game coming out in the next year or two. That is not even counting they have a VR game coming out too, but it's separate from that, which is a lot of people are excited for. But you know, kind of getting back to like with the esports, other games besides that, there's not really any big esports. The biggest like tournaments, the only thing I think is sports. So the biggest one, of course, is FIFA. FIFA is probably
or Madden.
Madden's not actually
Madden's
that big.
You know why? Because it's specific to the Americas.
Yeah,
you know, FIFA is more of the Europe side,
European Asia and side. America.
Yeah, it's a little mixed.
Yeah, if you think like the World
thing.
Cup is big, like when they get to like the World Cup and like FIFA, I mean, I've seen like some of like the pots and stuff. Like, I don't remember the exact amount, but it's ridiculous how much people spend a lot of money in FIFA. And it's probably the reason why EA does so well all the time is because they're, you know, they get like the big games and stuff, but FIFA is what's keeping EA up and
the
running.
The 2Ks, like NBA 2K18, you know, like all the other ones that are sports series.
Well, there's also Rocket League is starting to get up there in esports.
Rocket League is huge.
That's getting, and to be honest, I don't think that Rocket League has to. You know, they have to thank PlayStation for how big, because if that game did not come out as a PlayStation Plus game for free, it would not be as big.
The best thing that Rocket League ever did was cross compatibility with their games. So you can have a PC player, you know, versus a PlayStation player on the same platform online. you know, so you can have that cross compatibility. That's the one thing that I loved about the companies, that you can have different consoles, you know, talk with each other and still enjoy the game.
Yeah, Rocket League is one of those few ones that has that crossover ability that isn't a, well, no, it is pretty much primarily an online game, but it's not a subscription-based online game. Because I know there is a couple online games that are subscription-based that go cross-platform and everything like that, but Rocket League is one of those ones that isn't, that does. So
yeah, and it's definitely a big one, and it's still very low-key, but I know a lot of people love
it. It's growing.
What kind of style would that game be considered?
It's a sports game.
It's a sports game?
It's considered sports.
It's actually sports.
It's not like driving simulation.
It's soccer, but with cars.
Yeah, it's car soccer. Yeah, that's what I tell everybody.
It's soccer with cars, though. But and that's a big one. And then the only other thing I can think of when it comes to esports I guess racing is considered sport. Yeah,
there's a
lot of
those.
So, I mean, you have Gran Turismo, which is Forza doesn't do big tournaments, I don't think. I know
Need for Speed sometimes.
Yeah,
not really.
When they were big, yeah. But Gran Turismo, I think, is really the only big one. Forza, because Forza is more of a arcade style racing game, which is basically that, like, kind of like your own leisure, just racing other people. But Gran Turismo is more of the like online, like an actual racing simulator.
What about like Mario Kart?
Mario Kart's too party game-ish. It's less skill-based and more random chance with that one.
Yeah, with the question mark.
Yeah.
Nintendo, they're trying to get bigger on competitive. Because like they tried some stuff with Splatoon. It's doing pretty well, I think, for Splatoon.
It with Pokemon. Pokemon is still one of the biggest tournament kind of things, especially in like Japan and in Europe right now. Pokemon tournaments are huge.
Yeah, and we're talking about like Pokemon as in like the games and the card game, like the actual Pokemon trading card game. Like, I think that, and we could talk about like trading card games as kind of esports as well. And I guess because I mean it is a sport for most people, you know, trading card games. But yeah, Pokemon is a big one, and then of course here you have Magic the Gathering is the big one here with Pokemon trailing behind second. But then yeah. They have like the actual Pokemon games like Sun and Moon and stuff like that.
There's actually like tournament rules and everything, like certain Pokemon aren't allowed and certain move sets aren't even allowed and everything like that. Like the amount of detail that goes into just a Pokemon tournament that happens is insane. There are things that are restricted on the list that you can't do that I didn't even think you could do in the game in the first place.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like trading card games is one of the very few things that have rules. I know the Pokemon games have rules, like you can't use this Pokemon. Sometimes you can't use legendaries. You can't have this move set on, like, if your Pokemon has like I don't know the moves anymore, but if your Pokemon has this certain move, you can't use it. You have to like, you know, get another Pokemon. Like, there's rules.
It seems too technical.
It's very technical.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when it's an RPG that you can prepare for beforehand. Mm-hmm. Because Pokemon is one of those games that you do have to prepare beforehand. With like Counter-Strike, you can walk up to any computer and just start playing on that computer. With Pokemon, you need your copy of the game in order to enter these tournaments.
Yeah. And same with like Magic and Hearthstone for Blizzard. You can build your own deck. Like, you can build your own deck to how you want to do it. And of course, if you have a card that they don't have, that can change the game and stuff like that. But there are some cards or moves that are just ungodly combos and stuff like that. So they'll ban it because they know that it's so easy to get that and they can win probably just instantly. So those are the very few games to where they have restrictions. And I pulled up the list one time for Pokemon and oh man, I mean, they have like hundreds of items too. Like, it's ridiculous on how much stuff they, you know, and you have to like look at this list, see what you can put in your thing, if it'll work with stuff that can work. Like, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Pokemon has a lot of like preparing you have to do before you go into a tournament. And this stuff changes all the time.
Oh, yeah. I remember with Magic the Gathering, at one point, you had to buy a published book of the banned items for the tournaments that year. And it was like a Harry Potter sized book of just, you can't do this, 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 this. throughout the entire book, and that's all it was a "you can't do this" book in Magic the Gathering tournaments.
Yeah.
And obviously that was pre-internet being as big as it is now, where you can just pull up the list, but it's for card games, they have a lot of rules.
Yeah, and they have card, and like for card games, they, you know, they have massive tournaments, and then of course you have like massive, you know, and one, especially like with Magic, they have these cards that are worth like $20,000, you know, from like
Lotus, and
yeah, they're worth like so much money, and of course those are banned. And the reason why they're so expensive is because they are so powerful and they're banned. Like, banned cards usually jump up in price a lot because they're, one, they can't be used in tournaments. Like, that's one way that a lot of cards become rare and expensive is when, if they get banned from a tournament. The Lotus one was like one of the very first ones. And like, since it was one of the first, it's one of the most expensive cards out there.
Yeah. And kind of even going back to video game stuff, there's even like growing in for mobile games like Clash Royale, which is a game that I actually play on my phone every once in a while. There are tournaments for that. You know, there's tournaments for, I'm trying to remember some of the other, like there's, Clash of Clans, I know had
tournaments
some
for Tetris.
Yeah, there's tournaments for Tetris. Yeah.
I mean, you could go way back, but yeah, we talked a great deal of the different, I guess, areas there, you know, like fighting games, first person shooters, real time strategy, sports games, racing, MOBA, which I really didn't know too much about until today, which I didn't know there was a name for that till now.
Yes.
You know, TIL there. And, you know, with the other ones that we're talking about, you know, like you said, with mobile platform being prevalent now. You know, and being able to play on 4G with each other. So simply, like you said, what was it? Clash of Clans?
Clash Royale is the one that's big
then,
right now.
And then Fortnite has a mobile version now, which is basically a splitting image of the actual console game.
That's
and
hilarious.
That was actually pretty good.
So
looking.
I was like on those, like one of those like off-brand Chinese sites, and I saw like a docking station that you could plug into your mobile device and it charges your phone, and it has like, two USB ports that you could plug a keyboard and a mouse. And straight up, people are like plugging keyboards and mice into their mobile phone to get that advantage while playing Fortnite. And they like it shows in like the display, like the crappy Photoshopped Chinese, you know, picture of the product of like a dude playing like Fortnite in there.
Yeah.
And I was like, true. That's like, this is what it's totally invented for.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that even with mine, the Samsung phones, there's the DeX, which
The docking station that turns it into a PC. Yeah.
An Android computer,
Wow, it's so funny. People try to get that gamer's edge as best as they can.
I mean, the theory behind those docking stations isn't just for games. It's,
hey, this brings up a kind of simple or a kind of off thing, speed running. What's that all about? That's about the objective of trying to complete a game as fast as possible.
That's not really like esports. That's kind of like an entire separate thing. Kind of like that went back in the day with like Donkey Kong and you know.
Oh yeah, King of Kong. You guys heard about that guy?
Steve Wiebe now owns the official record for the first person to reach 1 million points. Mm-hmm. No longer Billy Mitchell.
Yeah. Speedrunning, I think, is an entirely different category because it's one person just trying to beat a record. You know, it's I guess some people may think of it as a sport because they're competing against others and stuff like that. But speedrunning, because there's dedicated sites for speedrunning of any kind, and there's speedruns for everything. I mean, there's speedruns for RPGs, there's speedrunnings for like Golden. I think GoldenEye was a big one
from
the N64 era.
What do you think of? What is it exactly called when you try to figure out those I guess click strategies for those real time strategy games like when you're playing Warcraft or Starcraft and you know the finite amount of clicks to do this or do that? Is there like a word for that or
skill?
Just mad skill.
It's a skill. Yeah.
But you guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, like it boils down to skill because basically you got to know how long does it take to mine this? How long does it take me to walk
it's like
to
mechanic.
There, mine this, build this, And it's a lot of timing. It's a lot of math involved when it comes to like real time strategies. Because the biggest thing when you watch like these, like a lot of the top Korean players, like they have these things down to like the second. Like they get it up right when they need it to. It's just a lot of timing, calculation. It's just a lot of math, really.
I think that's the difference between like casual and professional.
Well, I remember actually when I worked at like a mom and pop kind of computer repair store, we had like a little LAN center and stuff like that. And we were right next to a nail parlor shop. And there was one guy that worked there that when it was slow, he would come in and play StarCraft on one of the LAN computers that we had. And it would always be everybody working at the time versus him. We'd lose. We would get swept every single time. And I remember there was one time that we were playing. I swear, he didn't touch the mouse. He just kept hitting keys on the keyboard.
Hot
and
keys.
Just
yeah.
He still swept us. It was insane.
Yeah. It's kind of like with shooters too. I remember one time when I worked at a local video game store. Sometimes we had like a Call of Duty tournament, you know, just to get some people to come in. And this one guy, he was talking on the phone and he was like doing like 360 headshots without even a blink of the eye. Like it's just like a lot of these people just practice and they learn stuff from practicing and they just get ungodly at it. And it's ridiculous. Of course, shooters are different than RTS, of course. But I mean, just like Brad said, these people who just practice so much. And I think that's what's so appealing about esports is that anyone can do it. Like, you know, with sports, they have rules. They got to be this, like for boxing, you got to weigh this much. For football, you got to be this tall, or basketball, this tall. There's a lot of like requirements with esports. As long as you can have access to a computer in a way, and it doesn't have to be yours. It can be a friend's. It can be,
the library, you know, computer.
A library computer. Oh,
there's
my
not
God,
too much physical restriction. Exactly. It's just exactly. You as a person being able to have that, I guess,
that skill,
that hand-eye coordination.
Yeah.
You know, that's capable of playing the game.
Yeah, exactly. And it's in like when you – and of course, like you said, it's for the you know, age group of around like the mid-20s that play it. There are some older people that play, and there are definitely but with most esports you have to be at least 18. So a lot of those, I know, like when that big Drake and Ninja streamer, like we were playing Fortnite, that broke all the records. Like the guy who's streaming, his name is Ninja, and he holds like the record for like most subscribers at like 500,000 subscribers. He makes like $5 million a month or something like that. He played in like a tournament for Fortnite, and there was this one kid. He was like 14 years old, and he beat him. But he was allowed to play because they weren't playing for money, you know. So since they weren't playing for money, he was allowed to play. But most only restriction really for like esports is you have to be at least 18. But you will see it where there are people who are 17 and they'll get drafted for like a team, but then they just have to sit on the bench until they turn 18, which is,
yeah,
exactly. And you know, there's some times where like teams will just wait until that person can come up. And then once they start, they, you know, start dominating, but they couldn't put him in because, you know, he was 17 years old. I mean, that's pretty much the only restriction, but a lot of companies are like, I know EA does it. They do a lot of tournaments, but they don't do it for like money pools and stuff. So they can get that younger crowd to come in and play so they can get more interested in playing these games. And that's why they're allowed to play, you know, because of no prize pool and it's considered gambling or something like that. But a lot of local people do a lot of like local tournaments and stuff like that. And I think that's probably the best way to get.
Yeah.
People.
We got a couple, gamers lounges here in the Metro Detroit area that do this kind of stuff.
It's still one of those things that's not as big here as it is in like, Japan or China or anything like that. But it is a market that, cause for a little bit, like during the, 2000 to 2010, there were probably a good 20 or so LAN centers just in the Metro Detroit area that were fairly popular.
Nowadays, you could say, what's a LAN center?
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Now you pretty much go, I think there's a place that has computers down the corner. Does that count?
Yeah, and honestly, with the current generation we're in right now with like the Xbox One and PlayStation, I think that the moment those systems came out is when it opened up to everyone. Because, I mean, you saw tournaments like the Xbox 360 and the PS3, but their architecture for the hardware wasn't that great when coming to like the PC era with specs and everything. PC still had a massive advantage, but like
PC is the master race. Thank you very much. But
look, it always will be.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. And then like, but now the with the PlayStation race. 4 and the Xbox One, like there, you can play almost any game out right now and it'd be run as good as a PC version, unless you're doing like 4K and care
about.
Do
you not get that these consoles are nothing but computers in a box?
They are. They absolutely are.
The appeal is it's a computer that you don't have to worry about the specs.
It's
a
proprietary computer. It's like an iPhone. You know, it's a specific set of specs that the game is tuned for, you know?
Yeah, and most companies now, because when the Xbox 360 came on, the original Xbox, a lot of companies were optimizing it for PC if it was coming on PC, and that's why it was the better version. But nowadays, you see the console versions coming out first, and then the PC version coming out later to be optimized. So as much as a lot of people like PC Master Race and everything, the consoles are prioritized now.
I think it's because of the exclusivity. And the rights, you know, related to those games being distributed on those platforms to gain sales for more consoles. Do you think that's why, or is it like?
It also has to be that right now, especially with the computer market, this is something that you know, the prices for RAM and graphics cards are insane.
Those damn cryptocurrency miners are eating up those video cards and memory, and it's becoming almost a black market scale on trying to get this stuff. And I've been trying to get parts from China, just directly from China, instead of like a consumer retail area, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's a brick and mortar. Yeah, you're right. I never even thought about that, dude.
Yeah. I actually got a 1080 Ti, and I still paid like $90 over retail. And I got it because it was the only one in stock that they got like a few in stock, and it was still like almost $100 over retail, but it was better than $500. But yeah, they're starting to come back in stock a little bit. But yeah, once like November hit, RAM and graphics cards just shot up almost double retail.
Yeah, and that really started because even graphics cards going up in price started like about 2 years ago or something like that, where all of a sudden like that mid-tier graphics card was no longer $150. It was like $350. And that really pushed the PS4 and Xbox One a little bit, because for the price of a graphics card, you could get an entire gaming system that could do the same exact games that you would be playing on the PC. That really pushed it as well. And when, you know, the PS4's sales are some of the highest for any gaming generation right now. So, of course, companies are looking at that and going, hold on, we know most people have a PC, but they don't have a PC that can actually play this game.
So you're telling me that the trend, you know, based on the hardware, it changed. Like they're more coming out on consoles than they are on PC, and then they're eventually coming on PC. Great example, I think, Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, right? Well, Grand Theft Auto was always one of those games that was made for console.
So a good example would probably be like games like Crysis, and then games like PUBG and stuff like that. Those were a while ago, a lot of games were exclusive to PC. Like the best games were exclusive to PC. But now you're starting to see like games come out on PC, but then they get a Xbox port. Like there's this big MMO coming out called Black Desert. It was it's like a Korean MMO game like Warcraft, and it's coming out on Xbox One. Like there, like nothing is exclusive to PC anymore. Like the only thing that you find exclusive on PC are like indie games and stuff, like on Steam and stuff, like mostly just Steam. But like that, I think that's just another thing, is that now the exclusive games are on consoles with Xbox, Nintendo, and PlayStation. And I think that's what drives a lot of people too, is like, you know, there's nothing on PC that I can only play on PC anymore. You know, and then bundle that with the price, it's just,
and plus you get to use it on your home television.
Yeah, bigger screen.
Yeah, bigger screen.
And most people, you can get a 4K TV for a lot cheaper than you can get a 4K monitor.
For the total cost of a computer build, you could easily get a 4K screen with a console.
Oh yeah, and still save money.
And then, you could use that money to buy the game.
Yeah,
exactly. And then still have that, you know, mindset saying, oh, I can, like, God of War, I can only play God of War on this system and it looks gorgeous. I can only play Horizon. I can only play Halo. I can only, like with Nintendo, I can play Mario and I can have as much fun as I can in Mario. And then any game I can play on PC, you know, I can, and I can take it on the go with the Nintendo Switch. You know, the mindset with PC versus consoles have changed over the past 10 years. And it's going to that future where PCs, still going to be around, but consoles, I think, are going to be dominant with it, with gaming.
Do you think that from an esports trend as well, that competitively speaking, you know, we're talking a lot about these games being on the PC. Well, some of them, they're on consoles, but...
Yeah, for the most part, these games are on consoles being played at these tournaments, except for like Overwatch and some first-person shooters where it's mouse and keyboard is required. Those are still going to be on PC. Yeah. Everything else is moving over to console, though.
It kind of makes sense because, in a way, it kind of gives all gamers a kind of equal level playing ground in regards to the mechanics and you know, hardware behind the person that's using it. So in a way, you know, it's a good thing, competitively speaking.
Yeah. The world of esports has just been growing, and it's going to continue to grow. And, yeah, it's going to adapt to the change of gaming culture along with it. Because I'm trying to think, when MOBA games started getting big, but I guess it was when Dota 2 came out in, like, 2010 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's an entire genre that nobody paid attention to before, but is now one of the biggest genres in esports. You know, even more so than sports games, than racing games. You know, these games that...
It was the first esports with $1 million prize.
Yeah. Even before fighting games, which there have been fighting game tournaments since arcade machine cabinets with Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat.
I think that with this, you know, this game in particular that you're talking about, it gave more prevalence to esports in general, like saying, hey, this is a real thing now. This is a big deal, and it's not going away anytime soon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What Valve did for Dota 2 is what World of Warcraft did for MMOs. Remember when World of Warcraft, like, you had games like
EverQuest.
Oh, I love my Command and Conquer.
Exactly.
Oh, man, yeah. I love
like
that
those
game.
Like, those MMOs, they weren't that big, but once World of Warcraft came, it changed everything for MMOs, Final Fantasy 14, Terra, you know, stuff like that. Dota did the same thing. And now that Nintendo has perfected, like, gaming on the go now with home consoles, I think that esports is going to get bigger, especially with, like, if Nintendo is very serious.
Yeah, like Splatoon. Saying earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that if Nintendo is starting to get serious about this and they can make those games like that, I think it's going to be even more, because someone can have the Switch and be like, hey, let's all do a tournament together with our Switches. You know, I think that Nintendo, if done right, they could really make, I don't want to say history, but really make esports become big, especially with the younger crowd with Nintendo's. I think Nintendo definitely has something. And like what Darshan said earlier with Rocket League, the moment Rocket League was announced that it was going to have cross play on the Nintendo Switch, I think that changed everything.
Dude, as soon as that came out, I bought it. I was like, I get to play with my buddy who's got a PS4 on my PC now. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that when Nintendo did that, and that was a big thing for Nintendo. I think that was probably the biggest thing they've done when it comes to, because they're behind on online stuff right now. They're still very behind. But I think that was probably the biggest thing that they've probably done with their you know, ecosystem and stuff like that. It was definitely a big deal.
It was the right move for them to make in order to solidify the Nintendo Switch was a serious gaming platform.
No, definitely agree.
But that is all the time we have today. We have talked a lot about esports, but we want to know what you guys think about esports. What are your favorite esports games? Let us know on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. Until next time, this is The Breakfast Table.